couple of weeks ago, my friend Lori suggested that I had made a career out of the idea of connection. At the time, it caught me off guard. It was something that I hadn't totally considered until I realized that every story I tell, every anecdote I offer, comes back to these times of either deep connection or disconnection. I talk often about sitting on the White House lawn and feeling like I was networked better than many, but that I felt deeply, deeply alone. I talk about moving back to Sioux Falls and feeling like even though I had this body of expertise, I somehow was completely without community. This idea of connection is deeply, deeply integrated into every story I tell and most that I do. And so today I decided to run right at the idea of connection to introduce you to a couple of people who look at connection in very, very different ways, but in ways that deeply resonate with each other. I'm Hugh Weber. Welcome to the Potluck Society. I'm so glad you're here. If you're going to look for someone to talk to about connection, I think it's important to look at potentially some lateral thinking. So this week I went to a very close friend, a neuroscientist and data scientist, Justin Smith, PhD. Now I give him a hard time, especially about those three letters that follow his name, but Justin has a very specific expertise. Let's let him tell us about the things that he's interested in, especially as it relates to his research.
I'm interested in stress decision-making and the role that anxiety plays during that process. So individuals that are more anxious or more stressed are less good at making decisions. Individuals that are not stressed enough are also not good at making decisions. So there's this kind of sweet spot where you want to make sure you're stressed enough, but not stressed too much to be at your optimal decision-making performance.
Now that that's out of the way, what I really wanted to talk to Justin about this week was how he connects and how he views connection. I specifically asked him to talk about times where he transitioned from group to group, state to state, country to country even, and he shared a very specific example of his transition to South Dakota.
So when I was going to move back to the United States, I emailed all of my friends across the country that were in professional or graduate school programs. And I had, the whole United States was an open book. I could have moved anywhere. And my friend from Sioux Falls emailed me and said, "Don't laugh. You should move to Sioux Falls, South Dakota." And my first thought was, there's no way in the world I'm moving to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And then I read his two-paragraph email, and I realized I had a network of friends already here. The jobs are extremely available, and I could commute with him down to school in Vermilion. So right away, it was like, well, that seems like a fascinating place to kind of set up shop and see where I'd like to go from there. And I realized I don't have to go anywhere. I can be right here.
Now, there's already a lot to unpack here. First of all, he saw the entire world as his landscape for possibility. But it was a connection, a relationship, a friendship from his time studying in Montana that ultimately brought him to South Dakota, where he saw endless possibility.
And I was looking kind of to continue my academic career, and I was applying for different programs, and I actually got recruited into Dr. Cliff Summers' neuroscience lab.
Justin likes to talk a lot about Dr. Cliff Summers, kind of a hero and mentor of his. Let's give him just a little bit more time to talk about him.
It's essentially this, small, locally fairly unrecognized, but internationally world-famous lab that's down at USD. And I had the opportunity to study and work with Cliff, Dr. Summers, and it was an amazing experience, and it absolutely completely changed my life.
Yeah, I get it. We'll interview Dr. Summers at some point in the near future. But let's get back to this idea of connection. Justin, how was it that you dropped into these networks, to these communities, to these groups of friends, and became such a critical part of them?
So I think the idea of dropping in is something that makes it sound far too haphazard, right? It's growing up in Alaska, there's not a lot of people, and so you're friendly to everybody. And so you get good at making friends or kind of reading the groups to see, where do I fit in this group? If they've already got a funny guy or a guy that does everything, see if you can kind of fill a different role. I don't know. I guess I just really like making friends. And so being open to that opportunity and kind of going with the attitude of willing to listen and learn really helps kind of make people welcome you along to new activities and new adventures.
There's something so human about this. I think we've all experienced it. But I think it's really interesting the way Justin describes it. It made me wonder if this desire to belong, this desire to connect is innate, if it's part of the human experience. Do you think that that desire to connect or that desire to find a place, is that an innate thing that a neuroscientist could tell me is native to the human condition? Or do you think that's something that's unique to you?
No, I think wanting to belong is innate, right? I mean, I think everybody wants to belong to small groups. I've practiced it. I think that's the one thing that I would say. This is not an out-of-the-box phenomenon where, yeah, I'm friendly and I really enjoy talking with new people, but at the same time, too, I really try and work on being as observational as possible to understand what's the situation that I'm in right now and how do I assimilate the best, right? How do I join this group, you know, to the best way possible? But that idea for human beings to come together in groups, I think, is something that we've been doing our whole history, you know, as animals, as mammals. We really want to be together. And that's something where I think that absolutely is innate.
This really lit up my curiosity. I had to ask a whole series of questions about our own desire to connect and the interconnectivity inside our brain and how those things might have overlaps.
So the idea of, you know, as we come together as groups and societies and form these kind of larger systems, kind of like cities or even mega cities, right? So Los Angeles, New York City, Beijing, these are cities of a scale that we've never seen before in human history. And the connectivity, which is really powerful, and what I got to explore and kind of look at from the neuroscience perspective, is everything's connected. And so you have these dense hubs of connectivity, and then you have these far outreaches of connectivity, you know, that kind of go out to these, you know, smaller, kind of more thinking about it like rural South Dakota, where it's still connected to the system, but it's not hyper-connected in a small geographic space. I think those types of similarities are there between looking at the systems on a, you know, genetic or molecular level, and then you blow it up or you look at it on a completely different level of, you know, if you fly your drone 300 meters up in the air and you can see all the streets running together and kind of creating a small city, that's where I think it gets to be really powerful, because even though the scale changes, the patterns and pathways look similar.
This is some big stuff here. If the inner workings of our molecules look similar to the makeup of our biggest metro areas, there's some sort of, I hate to say it, but synergy going on here. I had to ask Justin more about this.
What does that say about us? Like, is there some otherworldly design involved in this that the internal kind of molecular systems would be reflected in the global systems?
I think it's how nature works, right? I think this is how nature always finds a way. And so even though they're taking off the scientific hat, right? So looking at systems that were evolved, you know, millions of years ago, you see some crazy things where eyeballs are at the end of these really wild, you know, stalks, and, you know, from insects, and just things that are no longer around today, but nature was trying different models out. And depending on what the environment was at the time, certain species succeeded, certain species did not. And so that's where I think it's this kind of, these patterns you see over and over and over again in nature are just sort of what physics and chemistry and biology sort of fall back on.
It seemed to me that we've changed the world because of how connection has affected us. So I wanted to talk more about how connection actually changed us.
Is there something about genuine connection that has an impact on your brain or your brain chemistry? Is there anything that happens when you genuinely connect with someone?
Yeah, yes. So your reward system in your brain is activated. You know, this idea of falling in love, right? I mean, it essentially makes you addicted to somebody, where you are searching out, you want to spend every waking moment with this individual person that you are emotionally, and now kind of your brain is waiting for those positive reward signals to come back. That is extremely powerful. That again, we don't have that built in a similar way inside large social media companies or interactions, even though you're interacting with other humans. It's in a very different way. And so we search for this idea of this emotional connection, this human-to-human contact that today we're not getting nearly as much. Even though there's more of us in a smaller geographic space, sometimes you're not always connecting with your friends and family as much as you really should be.
We're going to leave Justin for just a couple minutes because this note, this idea of connecting to our friends and family, struck a chord with me. I was recently reading my hometown newspaper, the Grant County Review, and I came across the kind of article that you don't expect to see in a small-town South Dakota newspaper. This was an article about Alexis Munson. She's quoted as saying, "Connecting with one another and communicating is a human experience. It needs a human touch that digital forms just can't deliver. We truly believe that Punk Post is a communication revolution. We feel like we're fighting the machine and taking back real ways to connect with one another. That kind of rejection of the current norm and search for real connection felt kind of punk to us. Hence, we named our company Punk Post. I just had to talk to Alexis."
This is Alexis.
Hi, Alexis. This is Hugh.
Hey, Alexis Munson, or Lex as she prefers to be called, is a 2001 graduate of the same high school I grew up in. I actually went to school with her older sister. She is a special human being. This conversation lasted well over an hour, and I don't think either of us really wanted it to stop. But I asked her to jump right into the meat of the conversation, the motivations, the ideas behind Punk Post right out of the gate.
We're like on computers and on our phones all day. And so like, I think that makes like the real humanness of things even more important, if that makes any sense.
As someone who spends about 10 hours a day on a phone or computer, it makes 100% sense to me.
Your birthday comes around and you get like 50 people writing happy birthday on your Facebook wall, but it just doesn't feel, it's nice, but it doesn't feel authentic.
Now, this is a catch-22 because I love Facebook birthday posts as much as anyone. But last birthday, September 27th, if you're playing along at home, I had to look at least half of the people that left greetings to see who they were. This idea of pushing back against social media superficiality seemed counterculture.
I mean, that's why we named ourselves Punk Post, and we do definitely have an opinion and about things. And we are like, you know, I mean, we are like on our website, it says screw Facebook, and we really do believe that. Like, it's great to be able to check in with people on the, you know, my siblings. I have tons of nieces and nephews, so it's nice to see them in that way, but it's not the same as like, you know, like when we send cards to my nieces and nephews, they get so excited. And, you know, like tech is great, but tech is not the answer for everything. And it's like, can't like dehumanize us, which sometimes I think it does. So I think we need to like all take a step back and being like, is this tech actually making our life better or not?
We'll get around to talking about what exactly Punk Post is, but first I want to talk about how it came to be. Lex shares an anecdote that involves her husband, Santiago.
Santiago worked at IDEO, and so he used to travel a lot like you did. And he was doing one presentation in Boston, which he was particularly nervous about. So I sent him a good luck, you're going to do great card to his hotel before he arrived. And they gave it to him when he checked in. And he's from Mexico. And so they don't have a very smooth working postal system. So he didn't like, you know, you don't get much personal mail there. And he got the card and he was like, oh my gosh. I mean, I think we all get that feeling when you get a card in the mail, like this feeling like, I don't know, it's just like this really warm feeling. And it's strangely exciting because it's just a piece of paper, but it's, you know, someone took the time to like think of you and write out a message for you. So he was like really enamored with it. And he was like, I'm going to send like a message back. It has to be a card. So he was like, but then he was like, wait, where do I get a card? Wait, where do I get a stamp? Wait, do I even have a pen? So he was like, man, I have this good intention and I want to make her feel awesome, like she made me feel, but I can't do it. So he was like, how can we make this more like help you make good on your good intentions? You know, like so many times I think like after a dinner party or something, you just write a thank you text or a thank you email. But, you know, someone put a ton of effort into making your dinner. So maybe you want to like make them feel more special.
I know this so well. I have a literal box full of greeting cards that were intended for specific people that now have aggregated into a mass of greeting card guilt. I absolutely love that an idea like this could become a company. But what is it about the tangible that is so extraordinary?
I don't know if it's so rare now, but you know, I don't know if you do this, but I have a box where if someone sends me a handwritten card, my Aunt Kathy, every Christmas, she paints her holiday cards. So I like keep all those and sometimes I frame them. But even if people just handwrite a card to me, I like keep it in a box. There's just something awesome about having like a tangible card, piece of paper, and being able to open it and read a message. I don't know if there's science behind that or what.
Well, if you trust people with PhDs like Justin Smith, PhD, then in fact there is science behind that.
But it does produce a feeling. Or I think we open our mailbox so many times and we're like, just it's ads, buy this, buy that. And this is just someone reaching out to you, trying to connect to you and let you know that they're thinking of you, whether it's words of encouragement, a birthday, or just, I mean, some people just send silly things. But I mean, I occasionally take out my box of cards and you know, if I'm having like a crappy day or something, and I read them, and it really does help. And I don't really know what it is, but there is something with getting a physical card that is very, like, even if someone wrote me the nicest email in the world, I'm probably never going to read it again.
There's no doubt to me that this is true, but I think there's a bigger purpose here for Lex.
We fill our lives with all this digital stuff that makes sure we can do things so much faster, but there is something to be said about, you know, I don't know, just like old, I mean, I don't want to call it old-timey because it's still so relevant, but I think sometimes we like forgot how relevant these things are, and like the feelings that they produce are so important. And yeah, I think like in our efforts to move forward with tech, we kind of haven't taken that into consideration. But I do see a lot of people here like really kind of fed up with it and wanting something more and wanting something else. So I do think it's important.
So I think it's time for us to talk about the actual process. This is an app that allows you to send a simple text that becomes a hand-scripted card going to your friend or loved one. Let's have Lex explain the process.
Yeah, you download the app. Your first card is free to send just to test it out because it's, you know, a new idea. So a lot of people, I think, are a little weary. So you pick a card. We have over 100, I don't even know, we might have like 200 designs right now. All the cards are hand letter press. You type in your message, you tell us who you want it to go to, and then you press send. And from there, we have a community of scriptists. They handwrite your cards, put a stamp on it, and put it in the mail for you within 24 hours. And our whole thing is, you know, there are services who are using like robots to handwrite your cards. But again, we're like really set on this human aspect. Everything needs to be human. And so our handwriters actually read your message and then they interpret it and kind of amplify whatever you are saying. And they make it really special. Whether you're talking about your cats or something, maybe they'll draw cats all over it. Or like if you're sending it to your nephew, they'll, you know, maybe put monsters in it. Or if you're sending like a condolence card, they'll make it really, you know, pretty and kind of somber. I don't know if that's the right word, but my point is that they're reading your message and interpreting it for you so that it makes the most effect for you.
This is where I need to share that I've actually used Punk Post. A little over a week ago when I was preparing for this interview, I decided to try the service. I got onto the app. I sent myself a message from the late, great Abraham Flexner. God rest his soul. I received this card in the mail a couple days later, and I had a visceral reaction before remembering that I had, in fact, sent myself a fictional letter. There is something about this process, these letterpress cards, these hand-scripted envelopes and greetings, that is really very, very special.
I had, sorry to interrupt, but it's just so funny because I had another person tell me the same thing. They were just kind of testing it out and they sent it to themselves. And they're like, even though I knew I sent this to myself when I opened it, I still chuckled and like physically smiled because I was so amused by it. And yeah, it does create like a reaction, you know, even though you did it to yourself.
So it's clear that Lex loves what she does, but I wanted to know if she had had any major breakthrough, aha moment or realization.
I think like our big realization was like we have all these modern forms of digital communication, but communication and connecting with people is so human. And like the answer to that needs to be human. Yes, we still live these fast-paced lives. Yes, we can still do everything from our phone, but there needs to be like a human element in there. It just can't all be digital because something really gets lost in that.
I had a question that I came into the interview wanting to ask, but early on, I liked Lex so much that I didn't want to offend her or step on her toes. But by the end of the hour, we had developed a connection. It felt safe to ask. I fully embrace the idea that it's way better than Facebook. Is there something lost in having someone else write it, like from a connection?
I'm actually really glad you asked that because a lot of people ask us that. And here's the thing. If you're already writing and sending cards to people when you think of them and making good on your good intention and making people feel good, like there is by no means we want to stop anyone from doing that. I think that's great. But like there's so many times where I'm personally like, oh, I want to send a card to my brother for his birthday. And like a lot of times I even buy the card and then I literally have a card here that I bought for him like 5 years ago that I haven't sent him. And like that's the thing where we're like, you have this in good intention and you have like a message from yourself that like it's probably a very heartfelt message that you want to deliver to this person, but it's not necessarily be delivered in the most meaningful way. So if we can help you deliver that message in the way you want it delivered, we're here for that. But I think a lot of us are like, oh my gosh, it's my mom's birthday. I'm on the bus or I'm walking down the street. I forgot. I have to send her a card. And in that case, like, we're here. You know, Punk Post has your back in that case.
I was really curious about Lex's thoughts on this idea that humanity has this deep, innate desire to connect. So I told her all about Justin Smith, PhD, and asked her for her thoughts.
Humans do want to connect with one another, and it's pretty simple, but we are creating tools so we connect with each other less. So I think, like, you know, moving forward, whichever direction things go, I do think that's going to be important. And especially, you know, now, especially when there's so much, you know, not to go political, but like turmoil kind of, I see like, you know, these connections between people and like communicating with each other is even more important now than ever, really.
I really couldn't agree more. What a lovely person, what a lovely perspective on life, and what an extraordinary opportunity with Punk Post. So I had to take it back to Justin Smith. I had to sit down and talk to him and get his feedback and thoughts on Punk Post as a concept.
Something I think Punk Post is onto something, absolutely, and it'll be very interesting to see, you know, moving forward where this ends up kind of settling in, what we are not willing to accept for having 1,000 friends that may or may not give you a happy birthday text or, you know, message on your birthday. Whereas if you get a beautiful written hand letter from somebody that's close to you, that means just as much.
But is there anything to this idea that those tactile, tangible artifacts actually mean more, that they're a deeper sense of connection? What does the neuroscientist think?
I fully agree with that idea. The thought that even though you can connect with thousands of people and have friends across the world, that's a very different experience for us as humans than what we were designed, or kind of what we've evolved to do, which is sit around a campfire and tell stories about the day and connect with one-on-one on an emotional level. And so that's something where Punk Post is powerful in the sense of...
Just a second. It's Punk Post. Punk Post is Ashton Kutcher's startup. So Punk Post.
I apologize, Lex. My fault. Punk Post is really onto something. This idea that Facebook and the other massive social media networks and companies haven't figured out how to build in that emotional component. And so people are hungry for that. We're kind of seeing the pendulum swing back towards, you know, this more personalized, more human touch in a lot of the things that we're doing. And we'll see kind of where the future goes. But it's this really common theme that you see coming up more and more, where people just want to be connected to other human beings, not thousands of individuals they may or may not know across the world on social media.
Well, I can honestly say the time spent in person with Justin Smith and on the phone with Lex Munson has been some of the most meaningful connection for me in the past several weeks. I look forward to the next time that I can connect with the two of them. As a special bonus, I wanted to include Lex in our action antidote for the week. We end every episode with an action antidote, just a little quick step that someone can take to maybe take action against the apathy or indifference that exists in their own lives or in their community. So I'm wondering if there's a way for us to use Punk Post for this week's action antidote.
Of course, yeah. Just download the app. It's available on iOS or Google Play. You can send your first card for free. So go ahead and send it to someone and let them know you're thinking about them today.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much, Alexis. It has been a true pleasure to be able to talk to you.
Oh my gosh, it's so great to talk to you. You're a fascinating person, and I hope the podcast goes well, and I'm really looking forward to hearing it.
So that's your action antidote for the week. Download Punk Post, send a card to a friend or loved one, and then take the photo that you received of that card and publish it on any social media platform with hashtag PS005. That's it. You did it. Thank you this week, as always, to Carl Koiser on the audio, to the fellas at Pony Creek Studios for the musical magic, and to John, a listener that sent in a supportive and constructive email that I believe will make this show even better. I'd love to hear your thoughts as well. You can send them to potluck@hughweber.com. That's it for this week. I hope we'll see you soon again here at the Potluck Society. And as always, don't forget to bring an idea to pass.